Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. We are now streaming live on YouTube. Just so you know, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where you should make your fall memories. We will be there next for our next live show on Friday, September 6th. So mark your calendar today. It's going to be a great time in Cape May. It always is. Cape May is beautiful, especially in September. So make sure you join us for that. All right. Let me get right into what happened today with this event that Donald Trump spoke at. I got a bunch of audio clips for you. I'll also tell you that the Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is once again acting like a desperate fool trying to get Kamala Harris's attention as he once again curses again. That's right. But let's begin. ABC's Rachel Scott opens her interview with President Trump today, coming in hot, coming in very, very hot, very rude, frames this entire thing. Rachel Scott had an agenda. That agenda is, let me go in there and let me get everybody talking about how Donald Trump is a racist. I want to paint him as a racist. I want to start that way. And hopefully I can have my career turn around and I can become an internet sensation. That was her goal. That's what her job was today, ABC News. Trump, of course, fights back. He pushes back on this stuff. He doesn't just sit there and take it. He never does. He always pushes back and he fights. And look, that's why a lot of people love the guy, because he's a fighter. Trump's a fighter. You come at him, he's going to come back and punch two times harder. You know, it's the old saying, you bring a gun, you bring a knife, you're going to bring a gun. It's a Chicago way, except he's not from Chicago, but that's how he does it. You come at him, he's going to fight back harder. He doesn't back down. He's not a beta. He's an alpha. He's an alpha male. As alpha as they come. That's who Donald Trump is. It's how he always has been. It's part of the secret to his success is that he fights back. So here's the exchange with ABC's Rachel Scott. Take a listen.
You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked the question so in such a horrible manner, first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much. And, you know, and I say this, historically, black colleges and universities were out of money. They were stone cold broke. And I saved them and I gave them long term financing and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
I would love
I think
you
it's
can
a very nasty question.
Well,
I have answered the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson who
answer.
Signed the Voting Rights
and
Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
That's what he does. He fights back. He pushes back. He takes punches and he goes into hostile territory. He goes into hostile territory and he's not afraid to do so. And even even Harris Faulkner acknowledged as much, too. You know, what you couldn't appreciate from all that is the fact that there were a lot of people there who were very happy that he went into a hostile territory, a hostile environment. No question about it. And then, of course, what is the big controversy from today is Trump went there with Kamala Harris's racial ethnic background. Now, look, if you're going to play identity politics, if you're going to play this game of you have to vote for her because she's a black woman. But at the same time, if you criticize her, you're racist and sexist. Well, then guess what? You're opening the door for everybody to have this conversation. You are opening the door for all of this to be had out. So let's have at it. Trump brought it up. They were asked the question. He said, you know, Kamala Harris, for most of her career, identified as being Asian or Asian American. It wasn't until recently she started identifying as being black. Now, this is causing a lot of uproar and a lot of controversy, as you can imagine. But somebody pointed out a good observation earlier, which is if the Democrats are going to play this racial politics identity game, and then you've got people who are saying, hey, look, you know what? Life's been tough. I'm black. I've had it tough. It's been tough. And now here's this person claiming to be black. And then you get into the ancestry and it kind of doesn't really match. Or maybe it just is a little bit Elizabeth Warren. You know, you're kind of doing it conveniently for convenience purposes. Well, it can't be one or the other. I mean, it's either you own this and or you're somebody who's using it when it's convenient and when it's not. And then if you want to make this race about identity politics and then try to make yourself immune from it to say, you can't attack me because I'm black. You can't attack me because I'm a woman. You can't do these things. Well, then you're going to get this. You're going to get this blowback. You're going to have all these things come under the spotlight. No question about it. It's absolutely going to be the thing. But look, if I'm out there going every day saying you attack me, you hate Italians, you know, you're anti-Italian. And then it turns out, well, yeah, I'm only like 25% Italian, or I never really told anybody I was Italian until it became convenient for me to run. And then I started telling people I was Italian. You kind of start losing a little bit of street credibility there. But either way, Trump went there. Now, whether he should have or not, of course, one of those things that'll be debated. Trump supporters will double down and say, absolutely, go with it. The corporate media will freak out and probably overreact. And somewhere in the middle is where the truth lies and how people will assess all the situation. Real question I have is how do those black barbers in Atlanta think about Kamala Harris? Do they think that Kamala Harris is once again they are obligated to vote for her because she's black, or do they, as they dig deeper into her background, find out, I don't think I have anything in common with Kamala Harris whatsoever. So we're going to leave racial identity out of it. We're going to leave identity politics out of it, and we're just going to look at records. I wonder how those guys are going to feel about that. My sense of it is they're going to probably turn around and say, I don't think Kamala Harris, we should really be talking about her racial background. So let's just focus on her record, shall we? It's my guess how those individuals will feel. I can't speak for them, obviously. Probably how they'd interpret it. But either way, here's the exchange. Take a listen.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a definition then.
Would you give me a definition
DEI.
Of that? Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question.
No, you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
will. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say, no, I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always
but
identified
you know
as a black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically
either
black
one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she went, she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you
I
believe
think,
that
I think
she
somebody
is
a- should look into that, too, when you ask continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans
really
have said?
I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Could be. Could be. There are some, and there are plenty. I know this lady right over there, Harris, is a fantastic person who just interviewed me at length, and we had a great interview, I think, and I heard you got very good ratings on that.
Well, you told me it was the longest one of your life, so we had a good discussion.
Now, this is obviously, like I said, it's going to cause a lot of controversy, and Kamala Harris is probably going to come back and say, I've always identified as half black and half Indian, and she's probably going to come back and say that. And then they're going to dig into her Jamaican ancestry, and the, I guess the only question is, if they're trying to use her race to connect with voters who are black, is that going to work? Because it may not. And by the way, it shouldn't. Because nobody, we should not be using identity politics. But that's what the left does. It's what they do. They can't help themselves. The left does it all the time. Try to divide people over race, over gender. And then to argue that she's immune from criticism because she's a black woman. But at the same time, if you don't support her, you're racist and sexist. So that's what they do. It's a game they play. Here's Harris Faulkner responding to the event today. Take a listen. You have that, Matt, right? Matt.
I had it 2 seconds ago.
All right, well, say something. Again, dead air is terrible for radio. It's called radio. We need content on the air at all times.
I'm sorry, here is
Just don't ignore me like I'm Kamala Harris not returning Josh Shapiro's phone calls, all right?
Sorry. My mic was not in front of my face. Here's Harris Faulkner.
All right.
What the nation has seen is this incredible buildup with journalists here reportedly upset because Donald Trump was coming. Some of them. And some of them we really hadn't heard from. So what I loved about what you couldn't see today was how much of that audience was enjoying the moment of hearing from a candidate that they might not always agree with. And that is the whole point. That is the growth of journalism, to be able to listen and question those things that you may not know about because you don't often talk to that person or those people. That was the goal here. So for all of that pushback, young journalists that I'm talking to after the event are saying, well, we're glad he's here.
Glad he's here. That's good. I mean, he went into the lion's den. Where was Kamala Harris? Wasn't there. Kamala Harris was not there. Now, Kamala Harris is apparently going to be having a rally in Philadelphia next week. That's the rumor. And she'll be announcing her running mate prior to the rally. So a lot of people are thinking that it is going to be Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Now, Josh Shapiro, as you know, is obsessed with Kamala Harris to the point of she's now blocked his phone calls, has a restraining order out against him. And I believe right now she's actually changing her identity so that Josh Shapiro can't find her. This is a video he put out again. He's about as subtle as a landmine. Put out a video. He wants to say, hello, Madam President. And in this, you're going to hear the Pennsylvania governor doing what he does best. Over the top, trying to impress a woman who is kind of like, eh, I don't know, maybe cut one.
This is a commonwealth that has a unique relationship with freedom. This is a nation that's already freed itself from a king. You see, the reason why I am optimistic is because we have been here before.
He's going to start
and
yelling.
As a nation, we have always come through it.
It impresses her.
We have gotten better.
We have
always gotten stronger. We have always gotten more just. Kamala Harris's name is going to be on that ballot. And I, for one, I'm going to be pushing that button.
Oh, you're pushing the button, aren't you?
Yeah. This election isn't just about a name on the ballot. It's an election about all of us and what it is that we're willing to fight for, what it is that we're willing to work for, and what kind of future we want to build for our children and our grandchildren. Well, I don't know about you. I want a future that is cleaner and greener. I want a future with better schools and safer streets.
There it is. Thank you, Matt DeSantis. I just wanted to hear him start yelling. I just wanted to hear Josh Shapiro's testosterone. He gets injections. It's not natural. He gets injections to get the testosterone going like that. But I just wanted to hear him yelling. But let's hear him cursing, shall we? Yes. I'm told his face tattoo of Kamala Harris has turned out beautifully, by the way. They really nailed it. So if you look at Josh Shapiro's face, The tattoo of Kamala Harris is perfectly between the eyes and the nose. It's absolutely, really, I mean, again, they nailed it. He can't stop cursing once again, because this is what the ladies dig. They dig it when you work blue. Cut three.
So Trump keeps bashing America in his speeches and his social media posts. What's your response?
I'm sick and tired. And I got to tell you, he is ill-informed. I mean, consider this for a minute. We are producing more energy than ever before in this country, which gives us more freedom and more opportunity. Think about this. We have the fastest growing, strongest economy in the world, and we were kicking China's ass for the first time in generations.
There it is. Stop it right there. You think he turns around and he goes, I said ass. You think she's going to like that? Huh? Think she's going to like that? That was good, right? Somebody call her. Find out. Kamala, this is Josh again. Hey, just leaving you another message. I cursed again. That's 3 days in a row. Dropped another big one. I'm working blue for you. All right, keep going.
In generations. Think about this. This morning in America, more people went to work than ever before. This is the greatest country on earth. And Trump, you got to stop talking America. We got to start standing tall and being patriotic and showing how much we love this amazing nation. I am sick and tired of him down-talking, talking this country, and instead, we got
to
stand
That's
up.
That's like multiple.
Tall,
stop it. That's multiple curse words, Matt DeSantis. That's beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep.
Well, he cursed once each, I guess it was Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
That didn't seem to get Kamala's attention.
No.
And it didn't get him the vice presidency.
No.
So he figured, you know what? I'm going to have to really unload and go multiple curses per interview.
Yeah. If I'm going to get this, I got to curse. I got to do, like, curse bomb, bomb, bomb. I got to go Eddie Murphy raw here is what I got to do. I got to go Eddie Murphy raw if I'm going to get her attention. Boom, 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 boom. That's what I got. All right, keep going.
And showing how much we love this amazing nation. I am sick and tired of him down-talking, talking this country. And instead, we got to stand up, stand tall, and be proud to be America.
We got to be proud to be America. We got to be proud to curse and show how desperate we can be to Kamala. Call me. This is getting weird. This is getting awkward. I heard you coming to Philly next week. You meant when he found out that she's coming to Philly, and you imagine what that awkward phone call was like, Matt, when he called her up and just left her a message. You're like, hey, it's Josh. So, you know, we got great cheesesteaks here. I don't know if you want to get one with me or not, if you want to chat before the rally, but, you know, we could go to Pat's or Gino's. It's where all the politicians go, and we could walk around together, maybe get a little one-on-one time if there's anything you want to talk about with me, Kamala. If there's anything you want to ask me.
Those two are definitely getting their cheesesteaks with Swiss cheese, right?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, that beta male, just to impress her, he's going to go vegan cheesesteak. You see, Josh Shapiro is so desperate at this point, he'll pull the ultimate beta male, like the white dudes for Kamala, and he will order a vegan cheesesteak to try to impress her and be like, look at me. I care about the planet. I'm the governor of Pennsylvania. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm going vegan cheesesteak just to save the planet. Do you like it? You going to pick me? You going to pick me? Pick me? Huh? Kamala, if there's anything you want to chat about, we could have like a private area cordoned off right there on South Pasadena. We could just chat for a few. No? Okay. All right. I'll call you later. I'll call you later. This is going well. I'm sorry, but Josh Shapiro being desperate is my favorite thing of 2024. It really is. I haven't had much joy in this election season. Josh Shapiro being so truly has been the biggest plus for me personally. I absolutely love it. And Kamala Harris again with the phony fake accent, just like Josh Shapiro, who starts sounding like a southern preacher. I have come down on high to say Kamala Harris will be Madam President. You bet your ass. I cursed again for her, didn't I? Well, Kamala Harris also with the phony accents. Let's do this one now. Cut five.
Well, Donald. I do hope you'll reconsider to meet me on the debate stage.
He will meet you on the debate stage, Kamala. He will.
Because as the saying goes, if you've got something to say, say it to my face.
If you got something to say, well, you got something? How do you spell that anyway, Matt? Do you know how to spell that word, something? S-U-M-T-I-N, something? If you got something to say...
If she wanted to debate him so bad, she could have just shown up to the National Association of Black Journalists convention today in Chicago like she was supposed to.
She could have done that. She could have absolutely done that. But she didn't want to do that. She wanted to run. She wanted to hide. And she did.
It is amazing that she's been the candidate now for, what, over a week and she hasn't done one interview?
No, no.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's a little weird. It's also a little bit unsurprising considering that if she had an interview, it would be a disaster. And they really want to make sure she gets the nomination first. And they don't pull a Joe Biden and put her out there in public too far and then realize, oof, now we have to kill her too. So it's awkward.
She's a great speaker, I think, when she has talking points in front of her, or perhaps not such a great speaker when she's forced to speak extemporaneously, which is what would happen in an interview.
I think she's a great speaker when she's got something to say, something. When she's got something to say. Okay. Very good. I have other things to get to here. Ah, yes. This is now Harry Enten from CNN. So Harry Enten is convinced that Josh Shapiro would save the day if he were to become the running mate for Kamala Harris. He's convinced of this. Now, I disagree, and I'll tell you exactly why he's wrong. But let's go with the narrative here for a second, which is that the vice presidential pick means everything. All right? It means everything. And that whoever Kamala Harris picks, it's going to be the game changer right there. All right? So here's CNN's Harry Enten breaking this down for us. Take a listen.
Nationally, a lot of these guys aren't particularly well known, so I think it's important to look at their home states, the people who know them best, to get an understanding, of how popular these guys can potentially be. So this is how much they outperformed Biden's 2020 margin in their last election. All these guys ran in 2022. And the one name that just stands out on this list is Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania. Look at this. He outperformed Biden by 14 points. My goodness gracious. Look how large.
My goodness gracious.
Sometimes I think an answer is just staring you straight in the face. And in this particular case, Josh Shapiro is looking at you right in the face. Look, Mark Kelly's not too bad either.
Stop it. He's looking at you right in the face with his face covered in a Kamala Harris tattoo, just for the record, which he did as an homage to her. All right. In fact, I understand today he got a tramp stamp on his back of also it says Harris 2024. Right above that ass that he talks about so much. I don't know if that's confirmed or not. I've heard that. All right. Keep going.
Performed Biden by 5 points. And keep in mind, he was running in a federal race, which isn't quite apples and apples, right, with a gubernatorial statewide race. But still, 5 points, not bad. Outran all the other Democrats in Arizona. Tim Walz, who seems to have been picking up some sort of momentum on social media. But look at this. He only outperformed Biden by 0.6 points. Very much on a different planet than, let's say, a Josh Shapiro, who's the clear runaway winner on this particular metric.
Is there proof that a VP candidate can help him carry a state?
Right.
No.
So we look at all of this, right? We go, okay, what does this exactly mean? There is one proven effect for a VP, right? And it is, in fact, this home state effect. Look, it's not necessarily particularly large. It's 0.5 to 2 points on average added to their running mate's margin compared to the baseline. But you know how close
I
elections
are. I was going to say, that's how much they're going to win.
This is the whole ballgame. I mean, Pennsylvania
stop
last
it.
Time.
Stop. I want to give a sports analogy, and I want to warn you by doing this, I don't do sports, as you know. In fact, our buddy, who was it? I can't remember. Somebody made a very funny joke the other day about my lack of sports knowledge, but now I can't remember. I'm just having a senior moment. That's all right. I'll come back to it. Anyway, I'm going to give you an analogy. So the guy who plays quarterback for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, right? Great guy. Great quarterback. Would you want Jalen Hurts to be the starting pitcher for the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, Phillies. No, you wouldn't. Two separate games, two separate sports. Same thing with this. See, people may like Josh Shapiro as governor. I don't know who these people are, but let's presume for a second they do. It doesn't translate into them wanting him to be vice president or president. There's a very big difference there. Some people might like somebody in that position. For example, it's why celebrities flame out in politics sometimes bigger than anybody. They are popular. Then they run and people realize, I don't like you anymore. Or I don't like you in that job. I like you on TV. Or I like you being the celebrity doctor. I don't like you being my senator. I don't want you to be my governor, whatever it is. Sometimes a governor runs for president and loses their home state because the people of the state are like, eh, yeah, you're a fine governor. You were good. We liked you, but doesn't mean we want you to run the country. There's a big difference there. And I think it is intellectually void to assume that just because somebody's from a state, that the people of that state are going to vote for that person. Why? We're not that parochial in life. We really aren't. I mean, again, it's like the analogy of not every Italian's going to vote for an Italian. You know, not every black person's going to vote for a black person. Like, it's not how it works. But the idea that he might get 2% in Pennsylvania and that that's going to be the determining factor in this election, all right, let's just go with that for a second. Then what about the J.D. Vance effect? Because the J.D. Vance effect on Pennsylvania could also matter a lot. But here's the thing. I don't think either of these guys matter in Pennsylvania. I don't. I think it comes down to Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, and that's it. I don't think it comes down to anything else. I really don't. This is not a question of will Josh Shapiro one day become president. I don't think people care. If Kamala Harris was as old as Joe Biden, maybe it would matter, I guess. But what does he bring to the ticket as vice president that would make somebody in Pennsylvania turn around and go, you know what, I'm not happy with the record of the Biden-Harris administration. I really, honestly, truly hate this economy. I'm struggling every day. The border's a mess. But I really want to see Josh Shapiro in the Naval Observatory, because that's where the vice president lives. I really want to see him in the Naval Observatory, so I got to back Kamala Harris for president? That makes no logical sense whatsoever. It doesn't. You know it doesn't. I'm right about this. People vote for the top of the ticket. Whether or not they like their governor is not the point. Josh Shapiro is not running for president. And I got news for you. If Josh Shapiro had run for president, he never would have won Pennsylvania in the primary. No chance. No chance of that. So let's not even pretend as if Josh Shapiro would have been the Democrat nominee for president if he had run, let alone whether or not he's going to actually help in the general election. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all, despite his obsession with Kamala Harris. All right, listen, as we continue along the show here today, we are going to be joined by our buddy EJ Antoni coming up next. You know, inflation is tough on everybody, and the inflation numbers are bad again. But here's the good news. My friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, they got you covered with a 10% discount. That's right, 10% off Anderson Windows, roofing, doors, and siding, and so much more with my friends at Emmons. I've been using the team at Emmons for over 7 years with both of our homes. I used Emmons in our old home. They did our roof, they did our windows, did our doors. I was so happy with the work. In our new home, they've replaced 4 skylights for us already, and they've done 2 door projects, and there's more to come. But that inflation relief discount of 10% off means those home improvement projects, you can finally make them happen. No excuses. And you can trust the team at Emmons because they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And Stephanie and Matt, the owners, are great personal friends of mine. They're going to make sure you are happy. They're going to make sure that the job is done on time, on budget, and you're satisfied, completely satisfied. That's their goal. This is a family-owned business, no gimmicks involved. But they were just quoted in USA Today and a big story about roofing products. So they're experts, recognized nationally as industry experts. So trust the team that I've trusted all these years, and that's Emmons Roofing, E-M-M-O-N-S, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
The video that came out of the shooter on the roof, running around on the roof, not even just standing there, but moving on the roof. How they didn't see this guy, I'm sorry, but you cannot dismiss anything at this point regarding this absolute, absolute failure. And I refuse to say it was just simply incompetence. I refuse. I'm not stupid. And there's a lot of questions, way too many questions that are going on here. But before we go to our guest, I just want to go to Joe's in Coatesville. He wanted to talk about the assassination attempt of President Trump. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Rich. Good afternoon. And first, I have to say thank you very much for this therapy session because I need it. But
happy to help. Whenever I can, brother, if I can.
Now, the thing that kills me, and you're a son of a cop, you know policemen, no one can not say, or they should be able to say that within 24 hours after that shooting, every individual, every agency was getting debriefed. Every one of them. I mean, you think about a cop shooting in Philadelphia. They're in the office. They're sitting down. They're writing down exactly what happened, what they saw, who, where they were, who they were working with. All of that information is happening. So we're here now, what, over a week, and they're saying, oh, we're still looking into it. That information's there. And for that SWAT commander, Alton Butler, to say he hasn't spoken to the director or, and to me, I'm wondering if he's spoken to anybody, that's a flag. That's a huge flag. They don't want to hear the answer. They don't want to have them talk. Or if they do, they're just saying, hey, you're not important to us right now. You're not part of our cover up or our solution. And that's killing me.
And they're trying to blame them too. They're trying to throw these guys under the bus and make it seem like absolutely. It was Butler's fault. It was the Beaver County's fault. It was, I mean, the way that the Secret Service brass is trying to throw local law enforcement under the bus here. Thank God they're not pushing. They're pushing back and that they're not taking it.
Absolutely. And if I can add one other thing, because I've been listening to you, by the way, thank you for the great reception over the phone. The thing about, the whole race thing, the only person who brought up race was that reporter. If you are confronting or saying things about Governor Shapiro, are you then an anti-Semite just because you're talking about someone who happens to be Jewish, or the sheer fact that this is an individual who has character flaws? Which is it? And that's what kills me again.
Absolutely. It is the ultimate double standard, right? You got to back her because she's a black woman, but if you criticize her, you're racist and sexist. It's just, it's infuriating. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it very much. Let's turn to a man who is now super, super famous because Elon Musk retweeted him on X today. I'm talking, of course, about our own in-house economist. He's also the economist of some lesser shows. I won't name them. But the one and only E.J. Antoni from the Heritage Foundation. What's up, my man?
Rich, always good to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, big day. Elon Musk. I've never been retweeted by him, so I now know somebody who has. It's impressive.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the follower count to go up. I haven't seen it yet, but hopefully we'll get that little Elon bump, you know?
I would hope so. I certainly will. Now, let's talk about some of the news today. I understand now the Fed is leaving interest rates unchanged. Is that true?
Exactly. Now, there's still a really good chance that we're going to get a rate cut in September, which is when they next meet. Markets are pricing in almost 100% chance of that, actually. So it's very, very likely at this point. A lot of people were hoping for it today. But I think, as all the listeners know, inflation is still a problem, right? We still have a cost of living crisis in this country. And when you're this close to an election, you really can't cut rates unless you have some political cover to do so, because otherwise it just becomes blatantly obvious that you're engaging in election interference.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that point. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Let's talk about what their reasoning was in terms of inflation, because we keep hearing from the government, Janet Yellen and others, that inflation's cooling. It's been cooling. I was also told it was transitory. Got to tell you, buddy, I'm not seeing the transitory cooling here.
Well, here's the problem. It's not that they want the inflation to stop. They just want it to slow down to a point where they think you'll be willing to tolerate it. That's it. Because at the end of the day, they're still trying to inflate away the real value of this $35 trillion debt, this giant albatross around the neck of the country. So effectively, it's almost like, Rich, if you're walking down the street and you get mugged, and somebody takes $100 out of your wallet, and then next week you get mugged again, but this time they only take $80 from you, and then they try to tell you, hey, I'm doing you a favor because I'm taking less from you now than I did before. That's effectively what's happening with inflation. So prices are still going up. They're just not going up as fast as they were before. And again, we should emphasize that the Fed has zero intention of getting rid of inflation entirely. They just want to get it down to that 2% rate because that's what they think people, again, are willing to tolerate.
What exactly did you post that Elon Musk retweeted, EJ?
This is genuinely insane. But if you look at how much we're actually spending just to service the debt, so we're not talking about paying a dime towards principal. We're not actually paying the debt down. We're just financing the national debt. The cost is exploding. It's running over $1 trillion a year right now. That means it's up by a third compared to the previous year. We're spending as much just to finance our debt, to service the debt, as we did on Social Security last year. So we are very quickly approaching a point where just interest is going to surpass any other individual spending category in the entire budget. I mean, this is getting pretty scary at this point. Increasingly, more and more tax revenue has to go, again, just towards interest. You're not building roads and bridges. You know, you're not financing hospitals or schools. You're not paying, again, for things like Social Security or Medicare, just interest.
Hey, speaking of Medicare, Kamala Harris at one point wanted Medicare for all. I'm sure she still does, although her campaign is going to try to walk it back like she wants to ban fracking, and they're walking that back, too. The idea of Medicare for all, even for illegal immigrants, that would be a pretty cheap plan, huh?
It's amazing how anytime the government does anything, it always costs so much more than the private sector. And why? Because there's no incentive for a bureaucrat to ever keep costs down because they're not spending their own money. You know, when you go out and you spend your own money on yourself, or let's say you spend your own money on your wife, right? You care about the quality of what you're buying, and you also care about how much you're spending. But when you're a third party, when you're a bureaucrat, you're spending person A's money on person B. So you don't care how much of person A's money you're spending. It's not your money. And you don't care about the quality of what you're delivering to person B because you're not the one receiving it. There is zero incentive here to in any way be efficient with taxpayer dollars. And that's a key reason why the government is so incredibly wasteful.
Yeah, and you know, the point on interest rates, too, and this is something that President Trump addressed today when he was at the Black Journalist thing. You have a lot of people out there, black families, but I think all across the board, right? Depending on, it doesn't matter your color of your skin. There are white families in the same boat, Hispanic, black, but the question was about black families. Can't afford houses. The American dream, the idea of first-time home ownership is gone in this country for so many reasons. And we've talked about this before. There are not enough homes. The inventory is not there. What used to be a starter home, those homes are now completely out of people's price ranges. And then what used to be considered starter homes for the people that want to then move up to the next category of homes, because like my family, my parents, you know, my dad was a cop. We had a starter home and then we bought a bigger home. That idea, that American dream, gone for so many people right now.
Exactly. And sadly, it all goes back to failed public policy. You know, we had the government spending literally trillions of dollars we didn't have. Just in the last 3.5 years, we've increased the debt by $7.4 trillion. And by the way, they burned through another $1 trillion of cash that the Treasury had on hand. So really, our overspending is not 7.4, it's 8.4 trillion. And Treasury just announced the other day they're going to borrow another trillion before the year is out. So that just gives you an idea of just how much of an overspending problem we have in this country. So what did that do? Well, there was nowhere to borrow that money from, so the Fed had to print it all. That's what devalued the dollar, caused all this inflation. That was a key driver behind home prices going up. And to keep the financing charges on the debt low, the Fed artificially reduced inflation rates. So that caused home prices to go up even more because so many people could borrow more at cheap rates and they could afford the monthly payments. So home prices really went to the moon. Then the Fed belatedly raised rates to fight the inflation that they themselves helped cause. And now all of a sudden, these prospective home buyers are looking at, as you were saying, Rich, you're looking at a starter home today in a lot of places. I'm not kidding. In California, there's a couple dozen cities where a starter home is $1 million. And you're borrowing at 8 or 9%, three times what it was just 3.5 years ago. I mean, that's insane. Literally, mortgage rates have gone from 2 or 3% to 8 or 9%.
You know, EJ, I was thinking about this today. That of all the news stories of the week, the one that caught my attention the most, believe it or not, outside of the Trump assassination attempt, which I've been talking about a lot, and the fact that the governor of Pennsylvania is obsessed with becoming vice president and he's sounding like a desperate, desperate stalker. Besides those two stories, it's the other one about how McDonald's is saying they're losing money because people are not going to McDonald's. EJ, that to me says so much right now about the economy. If you can't take your kids to get a Happy Meal, if you can't afford that, or if that's some sort of a luxurious treat for you and your family going out to McDonald's, man, that's a real problem right there. So I don't care, you know, leave all these other issues off the table. That's about as real as it gets for people right there, in my opinion.
100%, Rich. So, and actually, I'm really glad you brought up McDonald's because there's something called the Big Mac Index, which some of us like to use to track inflation. And the reason is because
I use it
Big
to
Mac,
track my waist size. The Big Mac Index is what I do.
It's not
so
that
I
kind
go.
Of index,
I've had
okay?
too many Big Macs. I gotta, you know. And if I'm yeah, so.
A Big Mac, though, has surprisingly a lot of different inputs, right? It not only has a lot of different types of food that go into it, but it also has different energy costs, whether it's, you know, the natural gas used to heat it, or you're talking about the diesel fuel used to transport everything or run the farm equipment. You have labor costs in there. You have utility costs for the individual restaurants. You have financing costs as well for the franchise owners, et cetera. So you have a ton of different inputs represented in a single item, the Big Mac. And if you chart the price of that over the last few years, you can see that inflation has been way worse than the official government statistics are telling us. So instead of something like a 20 or a 21% cumulative inflation rate, you're looking at something over 30. Exactly. So look at what these items, again, that have lots of different inputs. So they're a good gauge of overall inflation.
Yeah, because
in the
wait
economy.
A second, we're talking
look
about all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, lettuce on a sesame seed bun. So that's a lot of different inputs. Is that what you mean by that? All the different. I want to make sure I'm following
exactly,
this correctly.
Exactly.
Yes.
But even beyond just those foodstuffs, then on top of that, again, you have things like labor, you have utilities, right? You have all these additional costs that go into what all the things that the store essentially has to pass on to the consumer in the final price. So if you were to break out how much do all these different components of the Big Mac cost, you'd have a real big pie chart with literally 100 or so different components. And that means that it is, again, a really good gauge of overall inflation throughout the economy. And again, if you ignore these, frankly, phony baloney statistics that we get from the government, you don't have a 20 or 21% inflation rate over the last 3.5 years. It's something like 30%. There's a reason why people are struggling so much today.
All right. Big shot. Elon Musk retweeted you and you came up with all these fancy figures. But do you know the difference between a McDonald's Big Mac and a McDowell's Big Mick? The one thing that the Big Mick did not have, can you name it, from Coming to America?
Oh, Rich, you got me stumped.
Both have two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, pickles on a bun. There are no seeds on the McDowell's bun. There you go.
There we go.
All right, I'm here to help, buddy. You know, I'm here to help.
This might be the most valuable piece of information I've picked up the entire day, I have to say.
EJ's firing his booker right now, going, never put me on that show again. All right, buddy, thank you for the insight and the information.
My favorite show, Rich.
You hear that, DeSantis? Grab that audio. We're going to need that again in the future. All right? We're going to need that. All right, buddy. Dr. EJ Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. We always appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for making the time.
No, thank you for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That is the big story of the day. The economy brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. All right, we got a lot to get to in the fourth and final hour of the show today. I got more for you on Josh Shapiro. I got more for you on the state of the race and some new poll numbers, too, which I think should make everybody calm down and just relax and take a nice deep breath. breath about how this election is looking. So we'll get into all that with you in the fourth and final hour. And just another point, you know, on this Donald Trump appearance today, the question of Kamala Harris's racial and ethnic background. It's fair game. Like I said, she's the one who puts it out there. The left is what they do. They put this out there. They make it their selling point. So if you're going to put something out there that's your selling point, guess what? It's fair game for analysis and examination. That's just the bottom line. That's just how it goes. And I played you earlier the clip of her on that cooking show where she talked about her Indian background. So expect more on this, I imagine, in the coming days. No question about it. And the media will do what they always do, which is go over the top in their reaction and their vitriol. And as usual, people will dismiss it as being nothing more than the media overreacting and the left overreacting. Again, mark my words, it's what they do, and they do this all the time. All right, listen, NJ Diets can help you lose weight. Speaking of Big Macs, have you had a couple too many burgers this summer? If you have, it's okay. NJ Diets can help you lose that summer weight for good, once and for all. Guaranteed weight loss of 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days time with NJ Diet. Just go to njdiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET. See, NJ Diet's there for you every step of the way. You get the doctor's personal email, the doctor's personal phone number, and there are locations close by. King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, Cherry Hill, Princeton, or like I said, online at njdiet.com. The reason why NJ Diet works is that, well, there's no shots, no hormones, no surgery, no prepackaged food. It works with your unique biochemistry, your DNA. And they match you with supplements that will get your body into the fat-burning zone. You know, these shots are banned in a lot of countries in Europe, for example, so you want to stay away from them. And what you want to do is the natural way. NJ Diet. Plus, you got to take the shots for the rest of your life. And plus, NJ Diet works faster. So what are you waiting for? You can do this. I know you've been thinking about it. If you've been thinking about it, just pull the trigger and go for it. You'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds or more, guaranteed. I mean, there are people that have lost over 100 pounds on NJ Diet. So reach out to them today, 855-5-NJ-DIET or njdiet.com, and lose the weight for good.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.